This is Fresh Air. I'm Terry Gross. After Robert Bauer shot and killed at least 11 congregants at the Tree of Life Synagogue in Pittsburgh Saturday, we decided to postpone our scheduled interview with Jonah Hill. We'll hear that tomorrow. Today we're going to talk about how Bauer's views echo the rhetoric of the white nationalist movement, and about the threat that this movement poses. My guest Eli Saslow is a Pulitzer Prize-winning Washington Post reporter who is the author of a book about that movement titled Rising Out of Hatred. It focuses on the story of Derek Black. Derek's father, Don Black, is a former Grand Wizard of the Ku Klux Klan and created the Internet's largest white nationalist site, Stormfront. Derek was seen as an heir apparent in the movement, but he renounced his racist and anti-Semitic views when he was in his early 20s. In a few minutes, we'll hear an excerpt of the interview I recorded in September with Derek Black and Eli Saslow, but first we're going to hear the interview I recorded with Saslow this morning. Eli Saslow, welcome back to Fresh Air. I'm sorry it's such a sad occasion that's bringing you back to our program. When I heard about the massacre at the synagogue, I thought about your book. Derek Black has renounced his white nationalist views, but his father, Don Black, is still a white nationalist and still has the website Stormfront. He did not pull the trigger at the synagogue, and I am not trying to blame him for that. But do you find Don Black's story relevant to the views that were expressed by the shooter, Robert Bowers?
I think you can draw a straight line from Don's views and Don's work in this movement to the views expressed by the shooter. And that straight line honestly starts with just the ink on the shooter's body. He had a tattoo, 1488, two white nationalist slogans. 14 refers to a 14-word sort of statement of purpose that is central to what Stormfront does about securing a future for the white race and the existence of white children. And saying things like, I'm here because of a white genocide, and I can't stand by and watch my people get murdered, as the shooter in this case did when he was at the synagogue. That's exactly the language and the motivation that exists on Stormfront, and that's the way that they speak about this quote-unquote race war that they believe is underway.
Yeah, Bowers had said that he believed that Jews were committing genocide against his people. Genocide is what happened to the Jews in Eastern Europe during the Holocaust. Do white nationalists believe the Jews are committing genocide?
They do, and both Don and Derek were central to the sort of creation of that language. Even the term genocide, that was one of the main things that Derek and Don tried to spread and popularize on their radio show. And the idea behind it was that instead of speaking about minorities and slurs or things like that, that they could appeal to white people by the idea that their race was slowly disappearing. And more than that, that this was a genocide that somebody else was doing to white people. It's a ludicrous idea, but unfortunately it's had huge purchase in this movement. And now white genocide, I would say, is probably at the top of the paradigm of white nationalist ideas.
The shooter, Robert Bowers, also posted on the social media platform Gab. He posted about HIAS, the Hebrew Immigrant Aid Society, which is a nonprofit that assists refugees. They started assisting Jewish refugees and then broadened to assist other refugees fleeing from hate. He tweeted, HIAS likes to bring invaders in that kill our people. I can't sit by and watch my people get slaughtered. Screw your optics, I'm going in. My understanding is that was his final post on social media. So it's like Jews are committing genocide and immigrants are committing genocide, or they're at least slaughtering, quote, our people. So the idea that immigrants are going to, like, quote, slaughter us, how does that connect to the language of white nationalists and the language that Derek and Don Black had come up with?
Yeah, I mean, in the horrific sort of hierarchy of white nationalist beliefs, they really consider Jews their primary enemy. What white nationalists believe, although it's ridiculous and awful and scientifically inaccurate to say, is that people of color and immigrants are by and large inferior to whites. And left on their own, they would not be able to challenge the white race. But white nationalists believe that Jews are, while not white, very smart and sort of scheming, and also are trying to propagate a scheme of multiculturalism which will weaken the white race. So they believe that Jews have used immigrants, people of color, pushed for greater immigration, pushed for things like now this caravan to change the demographics of America so that ultimately white people will become a minority, and then white nationalists believe Jews will have even more power than they do now in the country. And that's why they identify Jews as their number one enemy, and it's why throughout the history of the white nationalist movement we've seen more attacks on synagogues, more bombing threats on Jewish schools than we have almost any other demographic group.
So Bowers had used social media to talk about how immigrants are going to slaughter white people, and President Trump has been tweeting and speaking about the dangers of the migrant caravan that is walking on foot from Honduras to the U.S.-Mexico border. And here's an example of something he said. "The assault on our country at our southern border, including the criminal elements and drugs pouring in, is far more important to me as president than trade or the USMCA," that's the replacement for NAFTA that he negotiated. "Hopefully Mexico will stop this onslaught at their northern border, all Democrats' fault for weak laws." But anyways, he called this the assault on our country. And it sounds like people are being killed if you use the word assault. How is the president's language, his language that's very, you know, describing in very frightening words this group of migrants walking toward the border, how is that language resonating among white nationalists?
That language is hugely popular among white nationalists, and I think also hugely damaging, because when you're talking to people as if they are at war, which when you use words like onslaught, that's exactly what you're doing, then I think it's natural to expect that a few people within this movement are going to begin behaving as if they are at war, and they're going to take drastic action. This sort of fear-mongering that happens, I think, particularly around immigration in the country, is the huge fuel behind white nationalist ideas. It's something that comes from mainstream corners of our country, in politics and on the internet. And I think one of the scary things about, you know, the last post that Bowers wrote on Gab is if you take out the last sentence, the "I'm going in," that reads essentially like many memes on Facebook do every day. It reads like hundreds of posts on Stormfront do every day. These are widely held ideas. White nationalists recently have gone from referring to immigrants first as illegals, which is insulting enough, then as infiltrators, and now as invaders. They speak about this as if they are wartime commanders, which begins to justify drastic and violent action.
President Trump has been calling himself a nationalist, and some people are saying that's a really buzzword for white nationalists, and that's is like one step away from calling yourself a white nationalist. And so I'm wondering how you're hearing the president's self-description as a nationalist, and also how that is being heard in the white nationalist world.
Yeah, I think that white nationalists feel like Donald Trump in some ways has been sort of winking at them, and has been for, you know, years now, in ways where he can use some of their language, but also manage to explain that he was not saying it exactly that way. So, you know, during the presidential campaign, that sometimes meant that Donald Trump would retweet a white genocide message from a white genocide user, and that exact phrase, white genocide, would be spread to all of Donald Trump's followers. I think similarly, when Donald Trump sort of said that he was a nationalist and gave a defense for nationalism, a lot of white nationalists thought, hey, this is him signaling to us that our ideas have real mainstream power and that he identifies with some of what we're doing, even though, of course, he can't fully say that he's a white nationalist.
So the synagogue shooter, Robert Bowers, criticized Trump for calling himself a nationalist. Bowers said he's not a nationalist, he's a globalist. Is globalist a buzzword for Jewish?
Yes, globalist is definitely a buzzword for Jewish, and a buzzword that the president himself and many people close to him have used often. The final campaign ad of Donald Trump's presidential campaign was a criticism against globalists with a picture of George Soros and five others, all Jewish, and, you know, with the Star of David also on this campaign ad. globalist is absolutely a code word for talking about Jews, particularly in the white nationalist world.
Why?
Because they believe that Jews have worked their way into huge global power. And it's interesting to read these white nationalist sites because they speak of Jews almost as if Jews are this sort of evil superhero with huge amounts of power. They say that Jews have wormed their way, in their words, into control over the U.S. government, over Hollywood, over huge international banks. And they believe that it's through this globalism that Jews have acquired enough power to begin to weaken the white race.
Getting back to Bowers, the shooter, he criticized President Trump for being too accommodating of Jewish influence. And I'm wondering here, if it's confusing to white nationalists to feel on the one hand that, as you put it, Trump is kind of winking at them with language like calling himself a nationalist, but on the other hand, his son-in-law Jared is Jewish. Trump's daughter Ivanka converted to Judaism. Trump right. now has two Jewish grandchildren. So, you know, do you get the sense that white nationalists are a little confused about how to read the president?
I think that they are a little bit confused, but it's a confusion that they're happy to live with, because until this recent administration, white nationalists were widely condemned over the last 50 years by every politician with any power in the country. And now they feel like they have a politician who sort of is doing this dance of, you know, empowering some of their ideas, speaking about some of their ideas, but doing it with enough room to provide himself distance from, you know, the real racism and history of bloodshed that's at the heart of the movement. So I think white nationalists, they do not believe that Donald Trump is a white nationalist. They don't think that he exactly identifies with their ideology, but they think that he agrees with a lot of their ideas and that he's breathing real power into a lot of those ideas in a mainstream political space. And in that context, they're happy to be confused.
The social media platform that Bowers used is called Gab, and it sounds like it's the alternative social media platform for people who were basically thrown off of Twitter or Facebook because of their racist, anti-Semitic statements. So what can you tell us about Gab?
Yeah, Gab is pretty small in the social media space. I mean, I think it's about 500,000 users, but it really embraces this sort of radical idea of free speech above all else. So somebody like Alex Jones, the conspiracy theorist who does not have a platform on Twitter because Twitter doesn't allow for it, he's one of the most popular people on Gab. Richard Spencer, the white nationalist, spends a lot of time there. There's a very high representation of white nationalist racist ideas on Gab. You know, and I think the danger of a place like Gab and also the danger of other social media networks is that it allows for people who already have some of these ideas to sort of cultivate their own reality. Bowers, when he went on Gab, he saw the messages of only the people that he followed, which is essentially one long news feed of confirmation bias. Those were the messages that he was getting. He was reading again and again about the caravan, about the invaders, about the threat to America. So then suddenly saying something like, "I can't sit by anymore and watch my people get slaughtered," that's because that's the messages he's been reading constantly on Gab and on places like it.
So have you been following reaction on the white nationalist site Stormfront to the shooting at the synagogue? And Stormfront is the site that we'll be talking about in the interview we're about to hear, and we'll be hearing about the founder of it, and we'll be hearing from the founder's son. So what are you reading on Stormfront now?
There are some really vile sort of celebration of what happened. There are certainly some people on that message board who would consider him a hero, a racial warrior, and hold him up in those ways. I would say the largest reaction on Stormfront is what I've seen after many of these shootings, and unfortunately there have been many. Several mass shootings connected back to people who have spent time on Stormfront over the last decade. And the reaction is mostly that, well, this probably isn't quite the way to go about it. He went a little too far. We don't really believe in going into a synagogue and murdering people. But the people who are really to blame is not necessarily the shooter himself, but are globalists and Jews who have worked to bring immigrants in here. And if you continue to bring in all of these immigrants and you continue to have a quote-unquote white genocide underway, then you have to expect that every now and then somebody's going to get frustrated and act irrationally. That's the main reaction.
So, Eli, have you spoken with either Don or Derek Black since the shooting at the synagogue yesterday?
Yeah, I've exchanged messages with Derek in particular. And I think that he's heartbroken. And it's much more complicated than that for him, because I think every time something like this happens, he feels in small ways culpable, and he wonders how much of the re-messaging that he did in terms of white nationalism plays into incidents like this. Derek was central to creating the phrase white genocide and to popularizing that in the movement. So to then have somebody go into a synagogue and murder 11 people and leave that building saying the phrase that you yourself spread again and again on the radio for years in your young life is, I think it's haunting.